I have a crutch timepiece, and I don't know how good it'll do me. I feel I have the more difficult subject or topic here, because the word goodness is a rather vague term. Gentleness, kindness, and all we can appreciate almost instantly have some recognition or cognition of what it signifies. But goodness is a sort of an indefinite. We know what it is, and yet to define it is another matter. The use of the word goodness in Scripture is only found, I think it was 5 places in the New Testament, and by repeating those texts does not really enlighten us as to what that particular term really signifies. In the dictionary, if you were to look up the word goodness, like as with regard to other ness subjects, it means a quality or state of being good. So now the next thing is, what is being good? And now, fortunately, there's a little more information on that subject. So we'll have to rely, to a certain extent, along those lines. Before proceeding with our subject, notice this is the fruits, or the fruit of the Spirit. In contrast to what the Apostle Paul earlier said, the works of the flesh. These fruit are produced from God given seed. It is miraculously produced. It is not hung on a tree as a Christmas ornament, nor is it done by the installment or Burbank engrafted method. It's something that grows voluntarily and by God's miraculous power. However, for that seed to develop properly, there is work necessary, industry. It has to have good soil. Our heart has to be a good seed bed. A good and honest heart is necessary for an enlargement and a proper growth of these various fruit. We find, too, that with regard to this subject, if we go to, like, the dictionary, we find that Webster gives 10 definitions, because it's a hard subject to really pinpoint. Sometimes the word good means satisfactory. Second, that which is favorable, that which is, like, beneficial. Third, that which is agreeable, pleasant, and cheerful. Four, that which is proper, fit. Now, it's used also in a fifth way as comparative excellence. That which is commendable or admirable. It's used also, good means kind, beneficent, benevolent. It also means that which is honorable, of good report. It has a definition 8 of sound, honest, sincere. 9th definition, that which is ample, full, thorough. And last, that which is considerable, that is, in amount, considerable. Fortunately, in the Scripture, its use there is more or less limited to 4 different applications instead of the 10 here. And you'll notice that with regard to the works of the flesh, there are 17 that are described in contrast to these 9. Goodness is usually contrasted with that which is evil. If we subtract an O from good, we are subtracting a 0. We're not affecting the word good. 0 from something, 100 minus a 0 is still 100. And the good minus the 0 is strangely increased. That, instead of being diminished, it's increased. It is God. And that which is of evil, in adding the word deed, you have the father of lies, the devil, and the works of the flesh, which manifest his spirit or disposition. It's a remarkable thing that in this particular categorization of the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Apostle Paul is not trying to go too deep into the root meaning of these words, because he has love at the head of the list. Just as you have adultery at the head of the evil list. But then when you look down the designation of the different descriptions, you see it's sort of in a random fashion. It's not done in a methodical, orderly way. It's just like an off-the-cuff presentation, something that's on his heart, and he's just giving a rough estimation, a thumbnail description of these, the works of the flesh as in contrast with the fruit of the Spirit. The way we can prove this, there are several ways, we only take one. Notice that the same apostle, when he describes love in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, that all these designations, except the one that I have for my subject, are repeated. For instance, charity hopeth all things, and it rejoiceth in the truth. The second designation is joy. The third one is peace. We have love is not easily provoked. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. We have peace. Love is not easily provoked. Long suffering. Charity suffereth long. Gentleness. Love is kind. Goodness. Love thinketh no evil. Faith. Love beareth all things. Meekness. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And temperance. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. So then, when he puts love at the head of the list, we can't go too deep into the word, otherwise why have all these other appendages? They're all covered by the one word love. The Apostle Paul uses love as a prism, which breaks down the primary colors, and if it's properly faceted in another way, it brings out even subordinate colors. But here, the breakdown is of the Spirit, not of love. The fruit of the Spirit, and then he fractionalizes it, instead of fractionalizing love. Now we come to another aspect of the subject. We can see that in the New Testament, the word good, that there are two primary words used in the Greek, agathos, and another word, kalos. Now, we were surprised that in connection with this fruit of the Spirit, that it didn't use the word kalos, which goodness, this type of good, is more fraught with meaning than the word agathos. Because if you describe a good tree and use the word kalos, it means that the tree is good in several respects. It not only produces a good fruit, but the tree may have beautiful symmetry, it may have very unusual foliage, it may have colorful fruit, it may have a pleasant shade, all these in addition to the bearing of fruit. But no, it doesn't use that word. It uses the word agathos, which is a more primary word for goodness. And it's treating this in a more rudimentary sense, that the sense is of bearing fruit, which is life-sustaining. It's nourishing, and it's that part that is being emphasized in this lesson we would understand. A benefit to others. The usage of these two words is brought to our attention by our master in the Sermon on the Mount, where he uses the illustration of a good tree brings forth good fruit. But he uses one word, good, in the Greek for the good tree, and then he uses another Greek word for the good fruit. And the good tree, he uses the word agathos, which is the root word meaning of the word we're to discuss or to discourse on today, where kalos is related to the fruit. Now, when we look up this word in other translations, sometimes people want to get out of the rut of using the word good, and they might use a sound tree, a healthy tree brings forth a good fruit, and in giving that particular aspect. When we were assigned this subject originally, the first thing we thought of when our master said to that noble, rich young nobleman who came to him and said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to gain eternal life?" And he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one that's good, and that's your God, the Heavenly Father." And interestingly, God is the author of every good and perfect gift. And so from that aspect, goodness is an emanation of God's character reflected in the subject that is obedient to his will. Now let's consider and try to narrow down the interpretation of this particular word. I think you have to know what goodness is in order to know what it is we're talking about. Well, first thing, we can find out what it does not specially represent. For instance, in this categorization that's written in Galatians, the 5th chapter, we see that goodness is the 6th thing listed. Goodness is right sort of in the middle. There are 9 categories. It isn't love, it isn't joy, it isn't peace, it isn't long-suffering, it isn't gentleness, it isn't faith, it isn't meekness, it isn't temperance. And another place it says about the law, it's holy, just, and good. So it isn't holiness and it isn't just. And yet all these qualities are good qualities, but the particular word is another thing. Now, with regard to good, we all hope, God willing, it is our aspiration, if we are faithful unto death, we hope to be of that class, that we'll hear the Master's commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it won't matter what gradation of goodness is. That's a passing grade. And we believe that that's the commendation he's going to give to everybody. Now, additional plaudits, additional praise and honors, that comes later. We want to know, did we make it? Did we pass the exam? And so goodness, from that rudimentary sense, is the primary thought here of that type of goodness. There are certain citations in Scripture that give us a little extra information. Some places they found it a little awkward to use the word good, and so they use the word well-doing, that thy benefit may be known to others. That which is good to the use of edifying. So we would say goodness is that influence which emanates from a Christian who is rightly exercised and is obedient to God's will and spirit, is that characteristic where the person, his influence and doctrine and example are beneficial to others, has a wholesome influence on other beings with whom the person comes in contact. I haven't even begun, but